Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us tonight. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, and you're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. This is show number 702, and today is Monday, September 16th, 2019.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah Peachy. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Our featured guest tonight is Julie Cooley, who will talk with us about MilSpouse License Recognition. You can connect with the MilSpouse License Recognition resources on social media, on Facebook at Department of Labor, on Instagram at USDOL, on Twitter at USDOL, or you can visit their website, veterans.gov/MilSpouses. Also coming up in just a few minutes, our News 6 Jolene will be calling in with your need-to-know news.
And if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. You can comment on our show, ask questions of the guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN command team. Head on over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN command team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. You can get to know us through our bios on armywifenetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. You can even get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives, too, because we're just like you.
So, Sarah, it is your first time co-hosting AWTR. Welcome.
Thank you.
So excited to have you here. So if you could, can you please tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself and what's going on in your household?
Sure. I have been a part of Army Wife Network for about 2 years now. I started out as a contributor, which I still do, but I also was an assistant editor, and now I have moved up to blog editor. I am a Pennsylvania native. I am a bookworm that has a to-be-read pile that's probably bigger than I am. I usually can't start my day without a cup or two of coffee, and I'm pretty addicted to crossword puzzles and politics. I've been married to my soldier for – I know. Who knew? I've been married to my soldier for 10 years now. We met in college, and we've been to about 5 duty stations. We just moved from Germany to Fort Leavenworth over the summer. We have 3 children, ages 6, 4, and 2. And right now, we're pretty much just loving life while my husband's in school.
Awesome. Is it a big change coming? I'm sure it is. Have you adjusted from being overseas to being over here in the States?
Yeah, it's been really nice to come back. We adored Germany. We thought it was such a great experience. But after 3 years there, it was time to come back.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I hear that. I hear one extreme to the other. People love it. Don't ever want to come back to the States, or they're like, okay, we're done. We're time to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw somewhere in our command team stuff, being notes passing around, that you wrote a novel, your first novel?
I did. It's taken me about a year to write it, but I just finished all of my editing, and now I'm sending it off to some friends for some feedback.
That is so exciting. Is this something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, I have enjoyed writing since I was a little kid. I used to write silly short stories for my mom. She would edit them, and I'd go fix all my stuff up and give it back to her and just save these little tiny stories. And I have been a journalist. I've worked in writing for about the last 8 years, and it's just always been something I'm passionate about. And it got to the point where I needed to stop dreaming about doing it and just do it.
Wow, that's exciting. Exciting, nerve-wracking.
It's pretty great.
Together, right? do you want to share it? Is it, you know, what kind of book is it about? Are you willing to talk about that or...
Sure. I mean, I haven't gone too in-depth in it when I've kind of explained it to other people, but it's a story about military life told from four perspectives. So it's two service members and then two spouses, and just big things, little things, kind of all the things about military life that you don't see on TV or in movies. So just to kind of tell, like, the real story of us.
That's really neat. So you're being able to take your experiences and turn it into a novel. How awesome is that?
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased with it. So what is happening in your household?
Nothing, just going to school. That's not fun. I'm kidding. Just back in school, and I guess I get paranoid every time school starts because it feels like sick germs are rampant because everybody's stuck in a classroom again. And even in the college setting, because, you know, you have people who have little ones. So their little ones are going off to school, bringing germs to the mamas and their dads. And then those people are taking it to their offices or to their classrooms or whatever. And I get super paranoid about getting sick.
because it's so much.
Yeah, because, you know, summer, everybody's just everywhere and you're having fun. But then all of a sudden, fall, and we're all cooped back up into these little rooms and cubicles or whatever. And I can't afford to get sick because of the classes I'm in and my clinicals and stuff. But I really can't afford to get sick. So I have hand sanitizer everywhere. I don't touch doorknobs. If I do, I use, like, a tissue or something and all kinds of preventive care so that I don't get sick or no one in my household gets sick.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not fun. But another thing I do is exercise to get rid of stress, because stress also, you know, if you're really down, stress-wise, it's easier to get sick. So I do work out. I did read something that your hubby did something along the workout realm. What did he do?
Yes. So while we were in Europe, he did two marathons. He did Athens and Munich, and kind of got bit by the running bug. And so he kept saying, I want to do an ultra. I want to do an ultra. And so over the weekend, he did a 50-mile trail run. He ran through the woods and spent about 12 hours in motion, but he did great. He finished super high up in the running of like 100 people. He was like 15th. So he had some serious success with it.
That's fantastic.
It was lots of training.
I can't imagine. My gosh, 50 miles? No, I've 3 to 5, and I'm like, whew, done. I can't imagine 50.
Yeah, I don't even, I'm supposed to be doing a 5K next month, and I think back to it, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to come home, and I'm going to be like, I am so sore, and I'm so tired, and he's going to look at me and be like, I just did 50 miles the other weekend, like, what do you have to complain about?
Sorry, Chica, you're not allowed to complain for a 5K anymore, ever.
No, not ever again.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, and we're going to go and check out what's going on Army Wife Network this week. So hot on our blog is a story by Sarah Jane Arnett, and Sarah has a child with a learning disability. Her son has struggled since pre-K in academics and social situations, and he's now entering his fourth grade year in a new state and a new school as their family deals with deployment. Sarah wants those of you with children who also have learning disabilities to know you're not alone. And she writes, do you have a child that systematically struggles in school? Do you spend more one-on-one time with them, helping with homework or offering whatever energy you have left at the end of the day, encouraging them that they are just as smart as their classmates as you wipe their tears? If so, you can relate to this article on a number of levels. As you know, it is one of the worst gut-wrenching feelings being unable to make things better for your child, but I refuse to allow our son to fall through the cracks or feel less than excellent. I feel our family has been afforded a multitude of supportive educators along my son's journey beginning in Texas with the initiation of his 504. If Sarah's words resonate with you or someone you know, check out her story by heading over to our blog at armywifenetwork.com and look for her post, 10 Ways to Support Our Children with Learning Disabilities. So, Sarah, as our AWN blog editor, you are the one who brought this very powerful and helpful blog to our attention. How do you feel or believe that this specific topic could support male spouses in our AWN community?
I think the biggest thing about this piece is that it's about helping our kids, but it's also about empowering parents. Because I think as parents, we all want the best for our kids. And I have not read this piece since originally edited the piece for publication. But there were two things that stuck with me from it, and it was the 504 and the IEP. And I feel like if those are the only two things I remember from it, then if one of my neighbors or one of my friends comes up to me and says, my child's just having so much trouble in school right now, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I now know 504, IEP, and I can kind of pass that off to them and give them a place to start. And then I have this nice little article that can just help them understand every little way that they can help.
That's awesome. You're right, because, you know, it's just that when you're going through something that's difficult, especially with your child, you want not just resources, but you want to feel like other people are going through it and understand, and you're not alone through this.
Exactly.
You did really good bringing that to our community for everybody to pay attention to. Thank you for bringing that. And, you know, you bring a lot of good stories and, you know, blogs to AWN. You've done a great job, Sarah. I love reading all the stuff that you edit and put out there. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
So can you let us know what else is going on at AWN this week?
So this week we posted a quote from the movie A League of Their Own that said, of course it's hard. It's supposed to be hard. If it were easy, everybody would do it. Hard is what makes it great. We wanted our military spouses to know that, yes, hardships are inevitable. But for those of you going through something, remember that we are all here for one another. Don't be afraid to reach out. You can always comment on any of AWN's social media outlets, or you can even send us an email to info@armywifenetwork.com, and you can receive support and encouragement and other information to help guide you through those hardships. Debbie, can you tell us about a time when maybe you were going through something and you turned to your male spouse community for help?
You know, I had to think about this, and I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know, because, you know, as male spouses and deployments or anything, something always is going on, and you're like, oh, my gosh, can you help me or can you do this? But I do have one that, you know, I thought about. I was like, oh, this is it. This is where the community really turned out. So, of course, it was a deployment, because that's always when it happens, to start out in our lives with military. Mm-hmm. And my middle son he's been sick for a little bit, and I just thought he had a stomach bug, and took him in. They were like, oh, just wait till, you know, Monday, because it was a weekend. And so that Sunday, it was Father's Day, and he was freaking out, and he ended up, I had to take him to the emergency room. Of course, hubby's deployed, and I have two other kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I called another male spouse who lived near me, and she just was like, I got this. And, you know, in a moment that I was panicking and freaking out, she, you know, just that reassurance, she knew what I was going through. And she just jumped in and was like, I got this. I got the kids. And then another spouse, she contacted her down the street. She came over. She goes, okay, no, I'm going to help take you to the hospital. And it was just like all of a sudden everybody just jumped in at a time that I needed my husband, and I knew I couldn't get him. I couldn't reach him. But they were my support. And even throughout that whole time, and it was really scary, he ended up being in the hospital for 3 weeks. And my husband, thankfully, he was able to come home. But I'll never forget how they just, you know, they were there, that community, because they understood what it was to not have a husband there and to be on your own with your kids. And you know, something horrible is happening or tragic or scary, and they just jump right in and make sure that you're going to be okay and that you've got to do what you got to do. And that to me is just, you know, the epitome of your male spouse community stepping in.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That is exactly what you always think of when someone's like, well, what's military community like? That is it.
Yeah, they do what you do for the others because you've been in those shoes, and then you would hope when it's your turn, they're going to, you know, do the favor back. And they almost always do. And I think that's the great thing about our community, because we do know what it's like to go through that, and you don't want to be left out without that help.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so I'm not going to talk about that anymore because then I'm going to get sad remembering.
Oh.
But it's all good. So,
no tears.
No tears. Okay, so quick reminder that links to everything we've talked about tonight will be posted on our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. It's time now for a short commercial break, and up next is our new six Jolene bringing us your need-to-know news. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Missed an episode? Or would simply like to indulge in more of Army Wife Talk Radio? Head over to armywifenetwork.com for the full archive, or simply download all the previous episodes via iTunes or the podcatcher of your choice. It's your dose of interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund breeding.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No, Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are 5 product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Our life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our new six Jolene on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Jolene, what do you have for us this week?
During coverage of catastrophic Hurricane Dorian, there was a lot of chatter about hurricane hunters. Just who are the hurricane hunters, and what role do they play in hurricane management? According to the Air Force website, the 53rd Weather Reconnaissance Squadron is a component of the 403rd Wing located at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi. The Hurricane Hunters provide surveillance of tropical storms and hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean, the Caribbean Sea, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Central Pacific Ocean for the National Hurricane Center in Miami. The unit also flies winter storm missions off both coasts of the United States.
What happens to the information collected during their flights?
Well, the data collected during flights is used by many agencies, including the National Hurricane Center and the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, also known as NOAA, to make decisions on the impact that a storm may have on the United States. The Air Force webpage shares that each crew consists of a pilot, co-pilot, navigator, flight meteorologist, and weather reconnaissance loadmaster. The squadron is authorized 20 air crews, 59 unit members hold air reserve technician positions, and the remaining force, about half of the hurricane hunters, is made up of Air Force reservists.
So, Jolene, what's the history of this unit? How did hurricane hunting begin?
HurricaneHunters.com shares that hurricane hunting began when Lieutenant Colonel Joe Duckworth flew an AT-6 Texan training aircraft into the eye of a hurricane. It turns out that Lieutenant Colonel Duckworth flew the single-engine propeller-driven aircraft on a dare. The Air Force website says, Major Duckworth flew into the eye of the storm twice that day, once with a navigator and again with a weather officer. Duckworth's pioneering efforts paved the way for further flights into tropical cyclones.
That's quite the dare. So, Jolene, what does the modern Hurricane Hunter mission look like?
Now the squadron flies WC-130J aircraft, also known as the Super Hercules. Each plane is outfitted with meteorological data gathering instruments. The crews fly through the eye and release drop zones, equipment attached by parachutes and dropped into the hurricane. The drop zones are used to collect information such as temperature, pressure, wind direction, and wind speed. The data collected is then transmitted over satellite to the National Hurricane Center. The flights can last beyond 12 hours.
So I cannot imagine what it'd be like to fly through a hurricane, especially one like we just had Dorian on the East Coast.
Right. In fact, Air Force Navigator Major John Garby told CNBC it's like driving through a car wash on a roller coaster. The work that the hurricane hunters do can help save lives. Joel Klein, a meteorologist at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Weather Service, told CNBC, "You have plenty of land observation, but with hurricanes, if we wait to get land observations, it's a little bit late to be warning people. We are trying to save lives and reduce the impact from evacuations," Weather Reconnaissance Officer Major Jeremy DeHart explained to CNN. "Everyone is kind of familiar with the cone of uncertainty, and the data that we send them reduces that cone up to 20%. So the more often we fly into it, the more accurate the forecast will be. That is ultimately what we are doing."
That's an incredible mission that the 53rd Weather Reconnaissance Squadron completes. I can only imagine the countless number of lives that they save through their work.
It's just one of the many incredible missions that our military members perform. This is your AWN News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thank you so much, Jolene, for bringing us this story. Listeners, don't go anywhere. Army Wife Network will be right back with our guest, Julie Cooley, to talk about MilSpouse license recognition.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games, but I hope he does.
I hoped he'd get help. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. And one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
Hi, everyone. It's Jack Black coming to you from the set of Jumanji.
We have to save Jumanji.
Libraries and librarians transform lives every day through digital literacy, discovery, and lifelong learning.
Let's go, people.
Yes!
There's no puzzle too tough or challenge too great.
We can help each other.
For your librarian, find the clues to solve your next quest.
at the library.
A message from the American Library Association's Libraries Transform campaign. And Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah PG. Joining us tonight is Julie Cooley. Julie is a military spouse of 16 years, an entrepreneur, an advocate, and a community leader. Growing up in Destin, Florida, as granddaughter of two World War II veterans and daughter of a soldier, Julie was raised to love and appreciate servicemen and women. At 25, she owned two small businesses focused on real estate marketing and management in a small resort town. When she met and married her husband, she found her career wasn't portable, and she'd be forced to reinvent herself to remain employed along her new journey in the MilSpouse world.
And now, fast forward to 2019, and Julie is this year's Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year for Barksdale Air Force Base. She's been given the opportunity to work with MilSpouses around the globe and across all branches on key issues facing our military families. After she had trouble transferring her occupational license to her newest duty station, Julie reinvented herself again and opened her own consulting business focused on talent development and military spouse license portability. She works locally with workforce development offices to secure funding for military spouses to obtain transferable employment skills. And nationally, she works with Maher & Maher Consultants on a Department of Labor project focusing on military spouse occupational license legislation implementation.
Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm excited to talk to you tonight. Where are you calling from this evening?
I'm calling from sunny, warm Barksdale Air Force Base, where it was 101 degrees today in the middle of September.
It is a hot one for you today.
Oh my goodness. Gotta love Louisiana.
Yeah, definitely. Can you tell us more about your background and connection to the license recognition issue?
Yeah, of course. So I have been a licensed real estate agent for 19 years, and through our journey, we've lived in four different states, but due to, you know, the difficulties with transferring licenses across state lines, I've only actually been licensed in two states. So like many military spouses and those that have occupational licenses, I've had just tons of unemployment cycles through my PCS journey. And I started in April with Mayor and Mayor, and I get to work on a small team as a military spouse, just advising, looking at documents, just helping the team with the labor, really understand the struggle with our military spouses and be able to work in outreach on getting their resources out.
Oh, that's great. What is the goal of the Department of Labor's License Recognition Technical Assistance Project?
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
So really with the Department of Labor, they understand how difficult it is for our military spouses and what unemployment looks like for us. And a lot of that revolves around our license recognition issues. So they know that, it's not just about finding a job at your new duty station, but keeping a job and not having to start from ground zero with every PCS. So having, portable occupations and having our license recognized with other states is very important. It's a three-pronged project. So we work in technical assistance with military spouses, like what we're doing tonight, getting the word out to our military spouses, educating them. But we're also not just educating the military spouses, we're working with licensing boards so that they're that they are putting the information out and they are educated on what their new laws actually are. And then we're also working with American Job Centers. There's over 2,400 American Job Centers. And so we want, when our military spouses go to seek advice on careers, that anybody that they could ask will know the proper information to give them.
Wow, that's exciting. There's a, you know, just seems like there's a lot going on that we don't know about. So with that, what legislation has been passed to accommodate military spouses with this issue?
Yeah, so almost every state has passed something. States are all different. They all pass things with different language. So most states have helped at least some of the career fields that that affect our military spouses. And what they've done is they've passed laws in three general categories: licensure by endorsement, temporary license, and expedited license. So licensure by endorsement is kind of like our recognition. So they've said, hey, you came from a state that has similar rules to what we have, so we're going to give you a license in our state. You're not going to have to take a test. You're not going to have to take a lot of extra steps. Temporary license says, hey, you know, you just came from Texas to Florida. We're going to let you keep working on that license while you're doing those steps to gain your license here in your new state. And usually those are valid for about 6 to 12 months. So you can go ahead and start working when you get there and be working to obtain your new license. And then expedited is just that. You're kind of going to the top of the stack so that you're not having to wait. Maybe if it's a 30-day wait period, you know, maybe for you it might be 2 days or 5 days.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because I went onto the website that you guys had listed, veterans.gov, male spouses, and I
yes.
saw the picture of the United States with all the colors, and you can put, you know, hover over all the different states and see what's going on. That's really neat, you know, to see it all listed there just by hovering over your state and seeing what that state offers.
Yeah, that is really neat. I love that it's colorful. It catches your eye. The other day I was actually up in Indianapolis at a conference, and I was walking down a hallway, and all of a sudden I stopped and took 3 or 4 steps back because I saw the map on a slideshow. It catches your eye. And it's great because it'll pop up just a little synopsis of what the law is, and then when you click on the link, you can see the exact verbiage of what the law is and what it covers in your state.
Got it. Yeah, that's exactly what I was just doing. I was like, oh, look at that. That's very interesting. Because I checked it out, you know, before we got on the show, and I was just trying to see what it was, and I found this map. And, you know, it that's very helpful because, you know, you just get orders, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to the state. And but you can get on this website and just flip and find all the applicable state laws.
Yes.
And just get going. So that's really neat. I feel like you answered this question, but I'm just going to throw it out there just to make sure. How are the laws themselves being implemented, and what do they look like on the ground floor, like when they're trying to – when you guys are taking it to become a law? Are you in that process, or is that – can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So somewhat. So our laws, they're implementing their policies, and some states are taking a little bit longer to implement. So, like, for instance, I was a part of something in June of 2018, and it took until about July of 2019 before everything was implemented. And so it's government. It's a slow process. And what they're doing is not only are they implementing what the laws are, but sometimes they're adding, like, other support. Like, maybe a state will say, you know, here's the regular application, but here's this little addendum where you answer your military spouse stuff. Some of them will have a completely separate application for our spouses, and they just go straight through the system. Some of them are even doing things like waiving all your fees. So it's really neat how they're implementing it. And, of course, it's, you know, there's 50 different states. There's 50 different ways of doing it. So it's very state-specific. But it is it's so brand new that what I tell spouses is to make sure that you're advocating for yourself, because a lot of times if you contact somebody with a state board, you make those phone calls, you have to think, like in the state of Louisiana, we have three main bases. And if a law's been in place for a year and I am one spouse within that, let's say I'm a realtor at one of those three bases, and this law's only been in effect for a year, I might very well be the first person that has gone through this process with that state. And so so that's what I tell spouses is oftentimes you're going to be more educated than the person with the board on the other end of the phone or the other end of the email. So equip yourself and understand that as you talk to them.
Yeah, that's very good advice. Because it's just scary, almost like uncharted territory. It's kind of scary going out there, but you do have to be your own advocate.
Right.
I do want to know, what's the main concern that you hear from military spouses about licensing?
So a lot of them, they're just confused. They don't quite know what options are out there, and that's understandable because they're changing constantly, and they just don't know where to really get started. So part of this project was creating resources. It'll be step-by-step guides and developing the veterans.gov/military-spouses webpage, just trying to pull all of those resources together, just to help walk you through the process.
Absolutely, yeah, because I'm sure it can be a little overwhelming.
Right.
So, Julie, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about how a spouse can take advantage of all these great opportunities.
Absolutely.
So, listeners, if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. And you can comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Command Team. And you can head on over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and be sure to use #ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted on our Twitter feed as well as in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. While September is considered National Suicide Prevention Month, Army leadership views suicide prevention as a year-round priority. The Army is committed to aggressively reducing the number of suicides. We have adopted a holistic, proactive model that includes early identification of those in need, providing constructive care, fostering leader and soldier connections, and encouraging soldier-to-soldier engagement. Family members and battle buddies are still the front line in surveillance and detection of high-risk behavior. Remember, ACE, ask, care, and escort. Ask, are you thinking of killing yourself? Care for your buddy. Remove any means that could be used for self-injury. Calmly control the situation. Escort them. Never leave your buddy alone. Escort them to the chain of command, a chaplain, a behavioral health professional, or a primary care provider. For more information, call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back. We're talking with Julie Cooley, who's sharing with us about MilSpouse license recognition. So, Julie, before we went to break, I asked if you would tell us about how military spouses can take advantage of all the opportunities in regard to licensing.
Yeah, so I'd like to, in this segment, walk us through our resource guide and also through some of the things that we have on our website.
Perfect. So, what's the very first step a licensed spouse will take after learning that, you know, I'm going to PCS or, you know, we're moving? What's that first step?
Yeah, so I always tell spouses, as soon as you find out what state you're moving to go ahead and start planning, because oftentimes we can get so busy and, you know, and worried about the house and the schooling and, you know, what everything else is going to look like that we put off our, you know, looking at our occupation until we're getting to our next location. And really you need to be doing it as soon as you find out where you're going, because there's a lot of work that can be done ahead of time. So start your planning, staying organized. The biggest thing that I say is to make sure, just like with your birth certificates and all those important papers, keep everything with your licensing with you on your person. So I have moved from Alabama to Pennsylvania, and my stuff was lost for 5 weeks. And I have moved from Alabama to Louisiana, and my stuff was in storage for 8 weeks because our house wasn't ready. And so I tell everybody, do as Julie says, not as Julie does, because maybe Julie didn't remember to grab her licensing files and keep them with the birth certificates. So just, you know, make sure that you're planning early, you're staying organized, make sure that you're arming yourself with all the information that you can find. And our resource guide is located down at the bottom in resources on veterans.gov/millspouses kind of gives you a step-by-step guide. You know, just key steps to take. And, you know, the first one is that beautiful map that we were talking about before is hopping on. It's right at the top of the page and just looking at that map and learning what those laws are for yourself.
Okay, so I get to the website. I know I'm moving. I go and I try to find information and I find my state. So once I look at the state and I figure out the laws, what do I do then?
So what I do, and actually I have I've screenshotted that, so I had the verbiage on the laws and I read through, and what can be confusing is you'll see some legal language like a state shall do something and a state may do something. So may is pretty easy, right? They may or may not do it. Shall means they're going to. And so you just kind of look at that language. You know, whether it says shall, do they have to do this or do they have the option? Does it say may? And so I look at that, and then I'll go over to step two on the resource guide is taking us over to our friends over at Military One Source. And there is a link that will take you straight into just some occupational specific information, and it will actually, you log over, and if you're a nurse, if you're a teacher, if you're a realtor, you know, whatever your career field is, it will actually directly link you to your national associations and just different great websites to gather information. And it also has all of our reimbursement policies on there as well. All of those are listed up top, but it will take you to your occupation specifics. So step two, Military One Source is what we say, is to go and kind of look at your occupation as a whole. And a lot of times we'll find great articles just, you know, about the military spouse movement on some of those websites.
Awesome. Okay, so just so you know, as I'm scrolling over and I go to Oklahoma, you have a shall and a may in the same sentence. So that could get confusing.
That can get confusing, yes. So everyone's, well, that's where we say all of these lovely states pass things the way they want it to, and so that's when we use the word confusing.
Awesome. Okay, so then, all right, I have the law and I have my occupation specific information. I've gone to, you know, Military One Source and look, what's my next step?
Okay, so once you have looked at the law, you've looked at your occupation-specific information, a great way to make sure you're getting the right information, because, you know, Google's our best friend right now, but sometimes you'll Google, you know, that you need the nurse licensing board in, you know, Colorado, and you might find old information, you might find bad information, and so on our veterans.gov website, there is a career one-stop tool, and you can click on that and you can put in nurse and you can put in Colorado, and it will open up to all of the information for that state. They'll have every nurse license within that state. You can click on your license, and it'll have the correct contact information. It'll have the address, the email address, the phone number, all, you know, for your occupation, for your state, for your specific kind of license, so you can make sure that you're, you know, that you have the correct information for your licensing board.
That's really helpful. I in preparation for this show, I was talking a little bit with some friends who are in career fields that have that require licensing. And one of the spouses mentioned about how she had a lot of trouble when it came to working with the licensing boards. Some of her mm-hmm. questions weren't getting answered. So what are some tips that you have for contacting licensing boards to get those answers to ensure that you're doing what you need to be doing?
So one of the things, and I say advocate for yourself, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to shy away from saying that we're a military spouse. Like anybody that's been employed, as you've moved, you know that you don't say you're a military spouse because you're not going to get the job because they know you're going to move in a couple years. But when it comes to our licensing, with the environment that we're in, there are so many different special rules and special accommodations for military spouses. The first thing you need to say is, I'm a military spouse. That is number one, mm-hmm. because they're not going to give you any misinformation because the rules are different for us. And so you're a military spouse. If, you know, and I kind of role play with myself. Like if I was answering the phone, then I would say, oh, yeah, go look at our website. And so I tell military spouses, you know, look at their website, know their information. And when they try to say, you know, go look at our website, let them know, oh, I've been to the website, I know the law, you know, just let them know that you have that information, and asking what accommodations they offer for military spouses, because there is the law, but a lot of them are doing things like fee waivers. A lot of them will have a special application, and what we're finding is not all this information is on their websites. Maybe it's such new information that they haven't put it out there yet. We've actually heard stories in one state that a spouse had asked the questions and really wasn't getting any information and mentioned things in passing, kind of went around the back way, and then found out through her process they'd actually pulled the information down from the website because it was causing confusion. And so they were purposely not putting that information out. And so, you know, we've got it. We tell them we're a military spouse. We got to tell them we know what the, you know, what the law is. This is what I found. And then what special accommodations are you offering? Because you may very well find out that you have a shorter application just for our military spouses. Some states, it's going to be right there online, and you just click on it. But sometimes it's under weird tabs like veterans. Like, most of us aren't veterans. You know, they'll be in different places. And so just make sure that you're asking those questions. And, of course, you know, make sure that you're keeping all of those notes all together, that you're keeping all this information, because it's often a busy time. And so you find this information, and it might be 2 weeks that you're worried about something else before you jump back to it. So make sure that you're keeping organized through the process.
That sounds like really good advice, to get solid answers if you can.
Yes.
And are there any ideas maybe that you are still working on with the Department of Labor that could additionally help military spouses? Anything maybe that they're considering but haven't gone forward with yet?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that are in the works. So there's a couple of new resources that we're working on right now. We're working on some talking points, you know, for our military spouses, you know, just to walk you through those conversations and answer a lot of our frequently asked questions. We're working on a personal, like a note-taking document where you can gather all these websites that you're finding. Just a lot of the different resources, you know, and kind of like a choose your own adventure. As you're finding this out, you're writing information, and then, you know, you're just going through and having your own like a fillable PDF that you're able to keep for yourself. So those are two things that we're working on. Of course, the website is constantly updating. And so as the reimbursement thing came on board, you know, I was just on the website one day and said, oh, my goodness, there it is. You know, they had added all the memos to the different branches. And something really cool that we're working on is our work with the licensing boards. And so we're kind of going one-on-one with different licensing boards and saying, here's best practices. You know, we noticed maybe that, you know, you don't have this information online, or maybe you have it under the Veterans tab, or maybe you're using some language, maybe you're kind of hiding your information, and walking them through and saying, you know, this would be a great idea to, you know, where to put the information on your website, and, and just kind of one-on-one coaching state by state. And so that's going to continue. Even after the project is over, that's going to be something that's going to continue. We'll see state by state as they start updating their information.
Oh wow, that's a serious help. That'll be nice to see, just for some additional guidance to ensure that everybody knows where the information is and how easily they can get to it.
And I think, as you know, things are moving so quickly right now, that I think that we're going to continue to see the information, you know, more and more out there. And especially as more spouses are going through under these new laws, they're going to be reaching out, at, you know, and mentoring the next new spouse to their state. And so I think that I think it's just going to keep on growing, and it's going to be less and less confusing as more and more people go through the processes.
And it sounds like a lot of the process is understanding how to be your own advocate, how to know when you're not getting exactly what you need. And I know in our bio, when we were introducing you at the beginning, we talked about how you are an advocate. Is there any advice that you can offer to spouses on how they can become better advocates for themselves?
Yeah. So don't be afraid of your voice. So that's something that, and I can say that because I joke and say there's a 4 in my number now. As soon as I turned 40, all of a sudden I got this voice, you know, I was like, oh, I'm old now. I can share my wisdom. But in your circles, you know, and what I say is, don't just take that information in that has something to do with you right now. I call it tools in your toolbox. And so gather all the information you can. And then whether it's you needing this information, you know, further on, maybe you didn't think about an occupational license 10 years ago because it was so difficult to maintain. But now that it's easier to, you know, whether it's a nurse and we have the compacts, it's going to be easier to transition. Maybe you're going into that. And so even if it's not information that you need right now, it might be information you need in the future, but also think about everybody that you come in contact with in all the conversations that you have. As you're in conversations with other military spouses, maybe you don't need this information, but being able to have bits and pieces of it to be able to direct, you know, people that you come in contact with, hey, there's this great map on veterans.gov. You know, you mentioned, you know, you're in nursing, you should click on this. It had information about the compacts on there, you know, whatever. Just don't be afraid of your voice. You know, just, you know, learn as much as possible and share that information.
And that's a helpful way to empower everyone. Are there any other resources that we should be aware of regarding the Mill Spouse License Recognition?
So what I tell everybody is it's moving so fast right now. What I do on, you know, on my socials, and I'm big with Facebook and LinkedIn, is I am, you know, kind of following anything that's working in this area right now, and I'm just daily, I'm seeing articles on things, and I'm sharing that information. And as I see things, you know, pop up, whether it's on, you know, military one source information, or whether it is, you know, anything coming down through Department of Labor, anytime you're seeing that information, you know, sharing it out there. And definitely, if you have key websites that you like, if you have your occupation specific or your state specific, don't think that because it looked one way a year ago, it's going to look like that now. Keep going back to these websites, because it is changing so quickly that, you know, you're going to see new information all the time. And so going back to those websites that you like, follow those groups that are in your occupation or just in the licensing world, but definitely keep an eye on that veterans.gov/millspouses, because that's going to be a great hub as we go forward.
Yes, and that the veterans.gov will continue to be updated, you said. Is there anywhere else that listeners can go to learn more, or should they just keep their eyes right on veterans.gov?
I would keep their eyes there and keep their eyes on Military One Source and some of those other websites, because they are doing a great job updating information as it comes down.
I've been checking out all the stuff you've been saying. I'm flipping through all these websites, and oh my goodness, there's so much information. It's awesome. I'm so grateful, Julie, that you were able to join us this evening and just give us this wealth of information and sharing about MILF spouse license recognition, because I had no idea it was, you know, there was this much information out there.
And that's what, and it's growing more every day. And if from somebody, it was just a year and a half ago whenever we found out that we were getting stationed in Louisiana, and my process was so difficult, and, you know, and I gave up. And I kept my license in my previous state. I wasn't actively selling homes, so I didn't actively need a real estate license. You know, here I was working in training and development, you know, with realtors. And so I gave up. And what I have done since then has done everything I can to keep other spouses from giving up through their transition. I want to make sure that nobody else does what I did, and they continue to see it through. And I do everything I can to make it an easier process.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for joining us this evening and enlightening us and empowering spouses, you know, because that's what you did. So we want to thank you for joining us tonight on AWTR.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for everything that y'all do for our spouses.
Thank you. Listeners, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Join us next week, September 23rd, 2019, when our featured guest will be Tracy Steele, joining us to discuss her new book, A Redesigned Life. It's going to be another encouraging and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and you can share the journey with many of our experienced contributors. You can also follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.